to be here this morning. God bless you this morning. Turn this thing on here. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that we could come this morning. We could gather with believers. Father, there are so few believers around compared to all the others, but Lord, you've gathered us together in this one little place here in Dixon. You brought us from different places, different parts of the country, Lord, and this is our church home, and Father, we're so thankful for that. I'm so thankful we can come and gather with people with the same faith we have, and it's the same Christ, and it's the same message, it's the same word, and it's the same reality. Father, we're so grateful that we can gather this morning, Lord, and to know that you are here among us, Lord. There's so many people gathering this morning, so many people in vain, they worship you. In vain, they gather together because, Lord, they don't have you. You're not even there, and you've even walked away. Sometime maybe knocking, sometime just done, just walked away, just complete darkness. But, Lord, we have light this morning. We're so thankful, Lord Jesus, that we have light. Won't you come and shine a little brighter this morning now? Won't you come and move among us, Lord Jesus? Touch each heart, Lord Father, touch each heart. We ask you to do this, Lord Jesus. In your name I ask this, amen. Amen. If you want to turn to Psalm 16, we're going to read one verse there and then have your seat. Psalm 16 and 11. Hope everyone's doing wonderful this morning. I have to leave immediately after service. I got to have to be in Indiana for work. There's a conference I have to be at this evening. And so I'm just going to finish here and just walk out, hit the road. So if I don't shake your hand afterwards, I'm just shaking it with you right now. So God bless you. And if I say something makes you upset, you don't even get to talk to me about it. So as you run out and beat me in the parking lot. So anyways, God bless you. Psalm 16, 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You can have a seat if you would like to at this point. That thought there, that phrase, in thy presence is fullness of joy. We want to focus on that this morning. And today I want to call this the secret of his presence. If that idea, in thy presence is fullness of joy, there is no other joy greater than this. If you want joy, you got to be in his presence, all right? Nothing else can compare with it because that's the fullness of joy. All right, and you can try to take that, well, this plus this or this and add that, but you add anything to it and you're not going to have that same fullness of joy. And so this is where Satan comes along. He tries to get you. Yeah, you want to be a Christian? I don't care if you're a Christian. Be a good Christian. But let me add you a little something to it. But if you also add a little of my pleasure to it, a little of my idea to it, a little something to it, and what happens then is that actually pulls you out of that fullness of joy, out of that presence, because you're mixing God's word with Satan's word. And it just is not going to have the same effect. And so we want to talk about this presence, this fullness of joy, and recognize that in his presence, you can't go there unless you're invited. You can't just walk into that presence. This is only for the elect. Jesus said, many are called, few are chosen. This is for the chosen. But listen, he didn't say all are called. He never said all are called. He said many are called. That means a lot of people aren't even called. But then out of the ones who are called, there's a few of them who are chosen. We're going to look at this in depth a little bit this morning, how there's many people who are saved, but they are not the elect. And so if you recognize this morning that you are elect, you need to recognize that the grace of God has been extended to you in such a degree that for billions of people on this earth, they're not there. They never had the opportunity that you have to come into this place because this is only for the elect. And you cannot elect yourself. Election is of God. This is his choosing, and this is what puts you in this opportunity to walk in there and live in this presence and have a fullness of joy that nobody else in the world can have. They might think they have it. They might try to get there. They might have all these ideas, but until you're actually there, you don't even know what it is. That's why you cannot explain to someone what it means to be born again, because they have to experience it themselves. Hell, hang on, I'm choking. Does that make sense? Once you're there, friends, then you know, oh, this is what it's about. This is what living is about. This gives my life purpose. For the elect, there is nothing else that's going to give you that satisfaction. Other people can find satisfaction outside of that, but for you, you never could find that joy, that happiness, because it had to be there. This is the only place where you could finally find your purpose in life. Psalms 31, if you want to turn to that, we're going to read out of there a couple of verses. Psalms 31 and 19. I'm going to read a couple places out of Psalms. If you want to keep that book handy. David says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee." Listen, it's not for everybody. He laid up for them that fear him. It's the ones that have learned to fear him, that have come into this place, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Listen to this. This is a public thing. They trust thee before the sons of men. It's like the whole world can see that there's something different about you. And they look around, they look, well, you're different than other, but you know, how you handle situations. And if they're not seeing that, there's something wrong, that you're not living in that presence. Because if you're in that presence, it will affect the way you live. Then he says this, verse 20, "Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. From the pride of man, thou shalt keep them secretly, a pavilion from the strife of tongues." So let's look at that first of all. It says, "Thou shalt keep in the secret from the pride of men." That means the snares, the conspiracy. That's where people try to get you to quit living in that presence. Satan comes along. He's trying to snare you. He's got a conspiracy. He has a trap for you so that you're living in that presence. But what he wants to do is stop living from here in the heart. He wants you to start living from your mind, from your spirit realm, and stop being affected up here, which is the gates of the enemy. Friends, we have five inlets into our spirit, and that spirit goes from there down into the soul, and that soul is trying to express what's in there. But when your gates all up here, your mind get all closed up, and the enemies are possessing these gates, then you cannot express what's down in that soul, and you're not experiencing that love because you're experiencing what you're feeling in your mind. And when you're just living from your feelings or from your emotions, you're not experiencing the joy that's down there. And say, "Oh, you have joy doing this. You have fun doing this. You have pleasure here." But it is not the same thing. And it makes you a wanderer. And you wonder, when can I ever get back there? You can get back when you want. But when Satan has our minds all clogged up, our gates of the enemy all clogged up, and then what he does is say, "Yeah, but what about this and what about that?" And he keeps us all up here, tore up in our mind, or trying to find pleasure in our mind instead of what's supposed to be coming up, which is Christ expressing himself. But he has to have your mind cleared out. He has to have those gates cleared out. And you must possess the gates of the enemy. And the first thing you have to do is recognize those are the enemy's gates. Those are not your friends. Your gaze into your mind, your imagination, your memories, your affection, your reason, your conscience, those are the enemy's gates. Those are not your friends. Those are the places where Satan comes in and makes war against you and against the joy that's in your heart. And when you allow him to sit there, when you allow him to sit there in your mind, it keeps what God inside, the Holy Ghost, the Word that's trying to express himself out, it keeps him bound down in there. And then we wonder why we don't have joy as a Christian. We wonder why life seems empty sometimes. We wonder why we just kind of go from day to day wondering what life is all about. It's because you've allowed him to sit there and possess those gates, which is the enemy's gates. We try to make them our friends. We try to love with our human love. We try to go by our memories. We try to go by our human affection, and it messes things up. That's why you die to yourself. That's those pride, the conspiracy, the snares of men. I should keep them in secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. That's the controversy, a case at law. This is where Satan brings that condemnation against you. He said, "You remember what you thought? You remember what you said? You remember what you did?" He brings a case against you. And this is what you do. You stay there in that... you stay there within that secret place of his presence. And you call it a lie. Because when you live from in there, everything Satan brings against you is a lie. And you can recognize, you know what, Satan, you might be right about that, but here's what you can't do. You might have got me to fall to that, but here's what you can't do. You might have got me to say something I shouldn't have said, but here's what you can't do. You cannot come into the secret place of his presence because you've been sealed out. And no matter what you get me to do up here, it's still sealed away. I'm just justified. God sees me as never having done it, and I repent for that, and you can't get in, and I can't get out.
Oh, just tell him the reality. Okay, Satan, you got me to fall. Yeah, you did, but you still can't get in. And what that's talking about, friends, is you cannot accept. It's a womb. It's a womb that's been sealed off. It's a place, a secret place that no seed beside the word of God can get in there. No man-made idea, no man-made seed. It's been sealed away. That womb's been closed off, and there's nothing but faith and belief in there. And the only thing that can come out is Christ himself manifesting himself. That's the only thing that can come out of there, friends, because that's the only thing that's in there. Do you know what it means? The seals were open to give us the pure word. It's a pure word that we can be birthed by. That pure word, that means we're married to Christ. The other angels couldn't have it. They were born again, but they could not have that pure word. He could not marry him. And if you are born again this morning, you've been married to Christ, and that seal in there is sealed away. And the only thing that you can ever produce from your soul is Christ himself. And if you don't start confessing that you are Christ in this age, then you are unbelieving what the word says about you. You need to recognize it, and your confession is, I have become Christ. I am the manifestation of the word for this hour. Oh, when is the bride going to recognize who she is? Don't recognize that you're bride. Recognize that you're him. You have become the word manifest, which is him, which is Christ. Take another step. You've been married to him. You've been joined together. You are Mrs. Jesus Christ. That's more than just a doctor. We've been hearing that for years. When is that going to start manifesting the way God wants it to? When is that going to start being the reality that we see? Keep secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. His presence. Now I want to get to the part I like. This is the good part to me. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. That word secret is a covering. It's a shelter, a hiding place. It's a protection. Secretly in a pavilion, that means to hide, to lie hidden from discovery. Satan comes to find you. He pokes at you. And all he sees is Christ. He can't even find Gene Berryhill anymore, because where he used to get Gene Berryhill, he'd poke at him and he'd start reacting out of his mind, out of these gates. But those gates have been cleared out, and that devil's been sent fleeing, and I'm possessing this gate and I'm possessing this gate. And he used to get you from your memory and get you dejected and discouraged. He used to get you from your affection. But I love my family so much, I'm just struggling going to church because of my family. And then he gets you from your imagination. Oh my goodness, how could it be me? But anymore, he comes to poke at you, and he pokes at you, and the only thing he sees coming out of there is the very life of Christ. He says, I look for Gene, and all I see is Jesus Christ. That, friends, is what puts you in the rapture. You're not going in the rapture until you get to that point. Jesus, God is going to take that bride and flash her across and say, this is her. This is her. Look, this is her. This is the real one. What is it? Because she's manifesting the word for this hour that you, the individual, must manifest. Okay, he don't care what you know. He don't care what doctrine you know. He don't care how you can explain it. He don't care how holy you're living. He wants to see himself manifest through you. All he's looking for is himself, because that means that you have taken his seed and you're producing a child for him that's just like him. That's what it means to be in that secret place. You're hidden away. You're hidden away. The world can't find you. You can't even find yourself. And you're put in a situation and you react in a way that you said, that wasn't me. It wasn't me. I didn't know what to say. I should have got upset. I should have torn to that person. I should have reacted angry, but I didn't. I just loved them. They said something horrible about me, and I didn't rise up and defend myself. Phil can't do that. Phil can't do that. It's something that's not me. It's not this old nature. It's Christ manifesting himself, showing himself that what he said about me is true. He's proven who I am. He must prove who you are. You can't go out and prove who you are. It's something inside. The secret of his presence. It's a place of complete safety. When you're living from there, you don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to make yourself. You don't have to prove, look how religious I am. Look how I can preach. Look how I can sing. Look how I can worship. Look how people think about them. You don't need any of that. In fact, you shun it. I don't want people to see Phil. I want them to see Christ. I don't care how well I preach or how bad I preach. I don't care if I make you mad or happy. I don't care if you think I can live it. I can sing or whatever. I don't care. All I want you to see is Christ. I'm tired of seeing Phil. I don't want to see him anymore, and I don't want you to see him anymore. All I want them to see is Christ. And if you say something that should upset me and it doesn't, then just recognize that Christ is witnessing who I am and who you are. That's what we need, friends. If we plan on going in the rapture, you've got to get to that point. If you're still trying to project yourself, you still want people to notice you and recognize you, then you got a devil influencing in your realms up here, in your gates, and you need to get rid of that thing, that self. Secretly in a pavilion. Oh. Secretly in a pavilion, that means it's a booth, it's a covert, it's a rude temporary shelter. It's a rude temporary shelter. He hides me in his presence in a rude temporary shelter. This is what it is. He picked the weakest thing on earth he could find. He picked the thing that Satan could use the strongest against him. He said, I'm going to make that my secret place of my presence. And I'm going to indwell that nasty old body that's enmity, that old spirit in your mind that is enmity against God. It cannot come subject to God. It hates God. And yet this is what we have up here. That's this enemies in your gates. Right here, the gates. This mind cannot come subject to the word. It will not, except the word has to bring it into subjection and say, no, you're going to do what I tell you to do, instead of letting it have its own way. And within this body that's full of disease and darkness and sin and everything else, he says, there in that darkness, in that gross darkness that is your own nature, that's where I'm going to live. That's where I'm going to hide away. And that's going to be my presence. It's right there inside you, so you can take me everywhere you go. You can take him everywhere you go. There's no inherent strength. Well, Phil, I'm kind of good at this, or I got the strength here. I got this. Let me tell you what. You either bring that subject to the word, or it's your biggest enemy. Your strength, your physical strength, your mental strength, your human strength is your biggest enemy, because that's the hardest thing you have to surrender to the Holy Spirit. People who are great gifted people, that can be their biggest enemy unless you get born again and bring that subject to the word, bring that subject to the Holy Spirit. It's his fortress, his stronghold is the weakest place on earth. People try to take it and make it part of religion. They try to make this secret place part of their religion. They take this and they want to say, well, look how religious I'm living. Look how good I'm living. Look what I'm doing. And they try to present that before God, and it comes all out of your gates of your enemy. Psalms 42. Let's read a little bit here. You can quote this, I'm sure. Psalms 42 and 1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Did you see where he's panting from? It ain't his mind. It ain't an emotion. It's his soul. It's your soul that longs for God. Your mind wants to be religious, but your soul panteth after God. Your mind wants to follow the rules. Your mind wants people to recognize what a great Christian you are, but it's your soul that pants after God. Your mind doesn't. Your mind pants after yourself. I want people to see me from your soul. It brings that mind to subjection. It said, oh, there's only one presence of joy. There's only one fullness of joy. And that's when I live in from my soul. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Not some religion. Not how good I can live. Not because I go to church. But for the living God, what does that mean? The word for your day made manifest. When shall I come and appear before God? What is he looking for? I want to be in his presence. When you're before somebody, it's their presence. And that presence, when you and God are right there having that fellowship together, there's nothing else can matter. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Oh, I'm tore up about this. I'm tore up about that. Get in his presence where nothing else matters. Oh, it's that simple. It's that simple. How do I overcome? Get in his presence. How do I quit doing this? Get in his presence. How is this going to work out? Just get in his presence. Oh, I come to church. I ain't talking about coming to church. Get to that in a second. You can come to church every day of your life and never once be in his presence. Oh, but I feel his presence here. That's not what I'm talking about. Sinners can come in and get in the presence here and feel the presence of God. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. You can shout and jump and preach and sing and do all kinds of religious actions and never once be in his presence. It's just an anointing. My tears have been my meat day and night while they continue saying to me, where is thy God? How many times does Satan come to you during the day and say, and you think you're born again, and you call yourself a Christian, and what you're thinking, he gives you the thought, turns around and accuses you of thinking some nasty thought. He comes and gives you, well, that was your thought. You know, well, that wasn't my, oh, yeah, that was your thought. And you're arguing with whose thought it was? Friends, your old nasty mind up here, which is not born again, is going to have nasty thoughts. Don't get condemned. Now, if you sit there and think on that for a while and it gets you thinking about a person a certain way, then, yeah, you repent. Get back away from that thing. Take control of that gate. But don't walk around in condemnation. I keep having an evil thought, Brother Phil. Well, praise the Lord. Recognizing that they're evil is a good thing because, you know, 99% of those people out there love those thoughts. They don't call them evil at all. At least you have enough light to see that they're evil. They continue saying to me, where is their God? Where is this manifestation of Christ that you keep talking about, Phil? Where is this when you walk through the day and this is going on and you've gone 3 hours and just working, whatever, and never even thought about God, and you say that you're in his presence? Yeah, I am. I'm sealed away. The battle is in the mind. That's part of it. And David's here saying, oh, I'm longing to see him. He said, one thing, this is some. He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Can you say amen to that? Is that your chief joy? Is that the one thing you want? Is all I want to do is be in his presence. Then that will I seek after. This is the one thing I seek for. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord. That is not talking about going to church. Remember, Stephen quoted the prophet. He said, heaven's my throne, earth is my footstool. What house will you build me? To behold the beauty of the Lord. It's got to be here. It's got to be coming from you. The beauty of the Lord, you need to see that. You need to behold that your soul longs for is to in this pavilion. Because listen to what he says. And to inquire in his temple. That word temple means a building. There wasn't even a temple when David wrote this. He longed for a temple. To do what? To inquire in it. That means to seek God in it. But listen to what he says. You come to church, friends, to seek God. This is where God puts his gifts. He gathers us together, the body, and he uses the gifts to seek after him. But this is what he says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. We're back to that crude, temporary shelter. That's where he hides you. He don't hide you in church. He hides you in your own body. And one day this body is going to come subject completely to the word, and it's going to be changed. That's what he's seeking for. In the secret of his tabernacle, that's his tent, shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. That is here in my soul. This is where David is longing for. He said, I want to go to church. I want to seek him there. But then when it's time to hide me, he don't hide me in church. He hides me right here within my own soul. That's where he wants you. That's where he hides us away. He didn't say you won't have trouble. He said, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me. In the time of trouble, he's going to put me in that tent, that tabernacle, that tent, that temporary shelter. This is where he's going to manifest himself, coming out from here, right here. You can come to church, and you should come to church. If you're a believer, you will come to church. But if this is your confidence, you're going to find you're on the short end one day. I believe everything Brother Jerry preaches, so does the devil. The devil knows it's true. That don't put you in a very good company, is what he's preaching, manifesting. That's what has to happen. It's got to be manifesting through you. The very life of Christ coming through you, manifesting himself. Now you got something to talk about. Oh, it's his secret. It's a place where only you and him. Your family ain't there. Your job ain't there. Your money ain't there. Your gifts aren't there. Nothing is there except you and him, and you're there dwelling in his presence. And when you leave, it's a horrible thing. And you don't, let me put this, what you do, you grieve him, and so you stop living from there. You never leave that place. You never go, and you're sealed in, but you start living from your mind. You start allowing your mind to control you, your thoughts and your emotions, and you let the gates of the enemy control you instead of letting Christ move up and come out full. Because see, he has to have this flesh to manifest. He has to have your mind to manifest through. But when you have yielded that over to the devil, then he cannot express himself. He wants us to hide there, but he don't want to hide there. He wants Phil to hide away down there. He wants this old age, all this to gone. He just wants me to hide away. But he wants to express himself. He don't want to express you. He does not want to express Phil. He wants to express himself. But we get in the way when we don't possess the gates of the enemy. You know, he came to Abraham after Abraham was willing to go and kill his son. He said, now, since I see that you're willing to give up your son, then he gave him a promise. He said, your seed is going to possess the gate of his enemy. But what was it after trial? Brother Brandon preached that, possessing the gates of the enemy after trial. Friends, you have to go through the battle first. You have to be so, like David said, one thing have I desired. And that was why Abraham, he said, one thing I desire, that's to please God. I want to have a relationship with God. And if it means I have to kill my own son, I'm going to kill him. But I'm not going to let anything interfere between God and me. That's where the problem is. There's so many people. We let our kids, we let our families, we let church, we let all this, what person said, we let that interfere between God and us. And we don't have that same relationship because we're living from our mind, which is the enemy's gates. And Satan's job is to interfere between our relationship and God, with God. And so he tries to get in there and interfere so that we're not living in that presence. And so he can't express himself. It's really just that simple. Just praying. How many times when you go to pray does Satan interfere? You got everything comes up when it's time to pray. And I'm not talking about you have to do some kind of religious prayer, but just when you're driving down the road, when you're washing the dishes, when whatever's going on, you just try to talk with them. And the next thing you know, you think about mowing the grass. You think about washing your car. You think about the kid's toothache. You think about whatever, what someone said about you. And you, you know, recognize, oh, I was going to pray. I was going to talk to God right now. And we try to make prayer a religious act. Stop making prayer part of your religion. It's just your communication with God. You talk to him. He talks back. He don't want some religion, something, oh God, well, I'm going to, you know what I'm talking about. Let me read some of the things the prophet said. He came down from glory. God was manifest in the flesh in Christ Jesus, his son. He expressed in his flesh what God was. He expressed in his flesh what God was. And that's what we do. We look at someone else and see, that was God. Today we look back and Brother Branham say, that was God expressed in flesh. And it was. He said he expressed in his flesh what God was. And God can express through us what he is if we'll just let him. If you don't allow him, he can't do it. It's your choice. You want free moral agency? There you have it. Either you let him express himself through you or you don't. But friends, if you don't, you ain't ready for the rapture. You're going to either do that or you're going to be here. And if you're born again, you will. Because he's going to bring you to that point. Because all his born again children are going to express him. They're going to bring forth a child. They're going to bring forth life. Because they have taken his pure seed. And that pure seed can only express Christ himself. You can't express some other religion. That's why people try to take, yeah, well, what about these people? They're good people. These people, they're good. Yeah, it had nothing to do with being good people. They're born again. We're going to get to that, Lord willing. There are Christians. They're going to be saved. But it's for a very few elect who are going to manifest what I'm talking about. The only way we'll ever be able to be the images of God and the sons of God is for God to reveal to us. You hear that? You can only express the image and be a son or daughter of God is when God reveals to you. It's not something that you can look up. It's not something that you can put on. It's not something you get by studying. It takes the revelation itself. He said, it's for God to reveal to us and express himself through his word to us and us to the world. That's what we have to do. That's what the whole point is. He said that's the only channel for Christ was the image here on earth, that you could see God in a man, express image of God, because God was in him so that we were one. I'm sorry, so that they were one. And now when God left, he sanctified the church that the church might take his place and express the word of God. That's our purpose. He said, what's my purpose in life? To express the word of God. That's all it is. We have to do other stuff. We have to work. We have to raise kids. We have to do all these things. But your purpose in life is to express the image of God to this world, that the light can shine today in the midst of all this darkness. Anything else is a secondary purpose. And when we allow something else to interfere with that, we have an idol. I don't have time, Brother Phil. You are an idolater. Well, I got to take care of this. I got to take care of that. If you don't have time to express the word today, you're an idolater. You're letting something else get in the way. That's more important than your relationship, that image, being in the presence of the secret of his presence. He said, that's the reason I think it's so real tonight that we should live the right kind of life, because there are many people who won't take time to read the Bible, but they'll read you. You are a written epistle of God. A real, true, born-again Christian is the word expressed again, because your written epistle is God read of all men. What type of person should we be if we know that our life is an open, living Bible to the unbeliever, to express God in our life? We're supposed to express him to the unbeliever. Not just believers, not just in church, not just around believers, but the unbeliever needs to see the light in you. If that ain't happening, there's something wrong with you. That's just the truth. If the unbeliever don't see Christ in you, and what does that mean? They see the love of God. That's what that means. If they don't see the love of God expressed to them, just like Jesus expressed love to you when you were an unbeliever, when you were in sin, he came and expressed to you. If they don't see that same love being expressed to you towards them, then you have a problem. And there'll be a time come forth when he could express himself in the fullness of his Godhead, deity, through his church, have the preeminence in his church, the anointed man, now the anointed people to bring back the anointed bride and the bridegroom. Anointed by why? Accepting what Eve turned down and Adam coming back with the anointing of the word because he said, my word is spirit. This, friends, is why the seals were opened. This is why we call ourselves message believers. This is why the prophet came. This is what God's whole intent was to do, is to get us to this point where he could express himself through us in a way that he has not expressed himself through church since Paul's time. This is what we're here for. All right, I got to skip some time. I'm never going to get done here. Okay, let me just read this here. Yep. Greatest battle ever fought. Brother Bram's talking about the five gates into the mind. He said, what's the matter? You had to open the channel first. You got to get the soldier, the Holy Spirit, placed at the battlefront to take God's word. He is the word, and he stands there. There's nothing going to stop it. Then there's nothing can. Every one of the other channels is cleared out. So when you start clearing these out and then get Holy Spirit there and you possess the gates, how do you do it? By getting the Holy Spirit standing there in that gate. And when Satan comes back against you, because he's going to come back against you, you can kick him out. And a minute later, he'll be trying to come back because this is his only way to affect you. It's through the parts of your mind. And so he has to come back. So you're going to die daily if you're a Christian. It's not something, well, I took possession of this gate. Good. Now do it again and keep him out. That battle is an ongoing battle. Now, that's not going to say that he might have a stronghold in there and you can cast him out once and for all. I'm not talking about that, like smoking or something like that. But don't expect he's just going to sit outside. Well, I guess I can't affect him anymore. No, he's going to keep coming back over and over because he knows your buttons. He knows how to push him. He knows your vulnerability. He knows how to get you tore up about something. And he's not just going to sit back and say, well, I guess you got me. Can't do that. It's against his nature. He said, just like an old boiler with the flue stopped up, you put a fire, it'll blow your thing up. That's what's the matter with so many blowed up Christians, because they don't clean the channels out. You might be born again, but do you constantly blow up? Do you constantly have an attitude? Do you have a temper? Do you get tore up by this? You tore up by that? You got lust problems? You got anger problems? You got greed problems? You got gossip problems? Because you got a gate in there that's not cleared out. And it blows up. He said they don't go down to the inside. You got to clean it. Conscious memory, thoughts, laying aside everything coming from the inside out with that unadulterated word of God that it's the truth. And that word is in there. He's trying to express himself, but it can't express himself when our gates are all clogged up with all kinds of junk. And you might be living in the presence, but it's dormant down there. You can't express it because there's too much junk in the way. And then you walk around. What happened? I was so close to God, and now he seems so far away. I was so close to God, but now I can't hardly talk to him. I don't have time. I can't get in his presence. I got a feeling because there's junk in your mind that's got you all clogged up. And he's there just as much as he ever was. And he wants to express himself just as much as he ever did. But you got to fight that battle. You got to decide, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to let this happen. I'm not going to be robbed of the joy of being in his presence. I'm not going to be robbed of the manifestation of the word in my life. I'm going to fight this battle. How do you go about that? Don't go about that and say, well, I'm going to kick you. No, you're not. You're going to believe what the word says about you, and that clears that junk out of there. Don't you go try, well, I'm just going to think certain thoughts. Oh, please. You've tried that. And look how failed you were. You're not going to control that in your own mind. You can't control your own mind with your own mind. And yet that's what so many of us have done over there is I'm going to just think the right thoughts. Okay. Okay. He said, we see back yonder if we want to open our channels then, if we can see. We find this one, that one, thousands of them testifying, but the devil will try to come right back. See if he could get in there at all. He's got your army routed right then. We do this, we pray, and we pray through, and so many times you leave church, and all your channels are cleared out, aren't they? In this presence, in this atmosphere, and the devil just pull back. said, well, I'm not going to get in there and try to fight that. He'll kick me in the teeth. And you will, by faith. And by the time you get to the car, he's ready to jump back on you, trying to get back in there. Isn't that true? Yeah. He's not going to sit back and say, oh, I guess I'm just defeated. Not until you get a new body and a new mind. He's got your army right out there. See, if you got your senses, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear, they're all right. But don't trust them unless they agree with the word. They're all right. But if they disagree with the word, don't you listen to them. Imagination, conscience, memories, affection, they're all right if they agree with the word. But if your affection doesn't agree with the word, get rid of it, you blow a flu right quick. That's why it's so important you marry the right person, because your affection is going to tell, oh, I love her so much, I just got to marry her. But if it's not according to the word, you better get rid of that thing. That love is going to get you in trouble. I ain't going to say it ain't love, but it's human love. This is why so many people, especially young people, they get in trouble because they think, well, I got to go by how I feel. The whole world is teaching everybody, go how you feel. You feel like a girl, you're a girl. You feel like a kangaroo, you're a kangaroo. It's horrible. I feel so bad for them because they are so blind, they're so deceived, and they don't have a hope. Especially if we don't show them the light. We just look down our nose, look at those horrible people. Oh my goodness, they're just disgusting. And call yourself a Christian with that attitude? If your affection doesn't agree with the word, get rid of it. You blow a flu right quick. If your reason disagrees with the word, get away from it. That's right. If your memory, your imagination, anything disagrees with what's on the inside, get rid of it. Anything up here that disagrees with what's on the inside, get rid of it. It's a lie. Well, my kid said this to me, or my mom taught me this way, or this person at work said something. I'm going to hold a grudge against them. You better get rid of that. That's a lie. Satan will tell you you have a right. God doesn't. All right, we got to get going. One more thought here. I want to talk about the courts. The three courts. We all live in three courts. It's your body, it's your mind, and it's your soul, right? Brother Branham went back to the old temple in the wilderness, the tent there, the worship there in the wilderness. He looked at those three courts. He had three courts in that temple. You had the outer court, the inner court, and then the Holy of Holies. He's talking about the person living in the outer court. He said, some days are gloomy. Some days you do not know whether it's really worthwhile to serve God or not. You're walking in the outer court. Sure, you're eating manna. Sure, you are a believer. Sure, you have eternal life. Sure, if you die, you go to heaven. You hear what he's saying? They're walking in the outer court. They're saved. But what kind of life are you living? Every day you get up, oh, I got my dandruff up today. I told them about it. I cussed them out. I couldn't help it. God forgive me. It's true. They couldn't help it because they're living in the outer court. That's as close as they got. And they know it's wrong to do those things, but their nature hasn't changed and they can't help it. Sure, they're going to be saved. If you die, you go to heaven. What kind of life you live in? Certainly, he said, sure, certainly he will. You're his child. He said, God, forgive me. Well, sure he will. Certainly he will. You're his child. But what kind of life are you living? Don't you hate to live that kind of life up and down in the trouble, pull one day and night, backsliding back to church, apologizing this over here. The other fellow just blooming right along, not a thing. So we don't look down our noses on someone who claims Christ because they might be living in the outer court. They're saved. Brother Branham said, anyone who claims Christ is my brother. He didn't say everyone who believes what I preach is my brother. He said, if you claim Christ, you're my brother. Boy, that could change a lot of churches. They start believing what the prophet said. Person on the inner court. There are seven golden candlesticks by the holy places giving light. The candlesticks are giving light. That's to the man who quits drinking, quits smoking, quits lying, quits stealing, treats his neighbor right, good to his wife, her good to her husband. He comes into a place where he quit all his meanness, which is through his blood. It was the blood was sanctification. He's called to a new life. He walks in there. He don't have to walk by the light out there. He's got a better light. He's walking by the light of 7 gold candlesticks with burning olive oil. The olive oil was representing the Holy Spirit. This person has the Holy Spirit. They're walking by the light of the Holy Spirit. The fire was the baptism which brought baptizing, even baptized right there by the Holy Spirit. But you're not hid away yet. You're not behind the veil. This is where so many people, so many message believers are so deceived, because you come to church and you're anointed and you can worship and you can praise and you can sing and you can do all the things and you have the Holy Spirit on your spirit realm. And you love the presence and you're feeding on the manna and it's a wonderful time. But not behind the veil yet. He's walking in these 7 gold candlesticks. There's much light in there. But there's days when the light gets dull. There's days when those lamps smoke and the light's not so good. There's times when the light had to be lit and you had to borrow a little from the neighbor to light one candle to the other. Oh, you got to come to church and kind of get within that spirit and kind of get pumped back up again. But when you walk through the week, it's just kind of dull. Sometimes you might go for weeks, oh, this is wonderful, wonderful, and then it kind of dulls out. I'm not talking about trials and deserts and things like that. Everyone goes through that. I'm talking about your relationship with Christ. Because even in the midst of your trial where you can't feel God, yet if you know that you're living from in here, there's something that's anchored. There's a joy in here that you don't feel in your emotions at all, but there's something in here that holds you and says, oh, but this is for my good. I might feel like trash. I might feel so down. God might not have spoken to me for 3 weeks, but something inside said, you just keep walking, boy. I ain't going by how I feel. It don't matter how I feel. I'm going to praise God anyways. You must really feel the anointing. I don't feel a thing, but I'm going to praise him anyways because I'm living by faith from the presence where I'm not going by feelings. It's something that's greater than my feelings, and it takes this into subjection and says, shut up, boy, and you praise God anyways. Because I've been through so many trials. There have been so many times, God, how are you ever going to get me through this? And the next thing you know, you're walking right out of it and say, oh, that was how. And the next time you get back into God, how are you ever going to get me through this? And the next thing you know, you're walking out of it again. And after a while, you quit saying, how are you going to get out of me? He said, I'm just going to keep going until you bring me out of it, because you brought me this far and you promised me to take me the rest of the way. I'm tired of getting discouraged. I'm tired of having that negative thought. I'm tired of living with just how I'm feeling. I can't get a hold of God. Oh, shut up. Your soul down there ain't whining and crying. It's just saying, why don't you just keep going, boy? Because there's light at the end of the tunnel. They're crossing, talking about Israel crossing the Red Sea. Came out under the promise of God. By sovereign grace, each night rained down manna out of heaven. The people go and take it, eat this manna, make it into bread or cakes or something, would eat this bread. We found out that many times if they let the manna lay around too little, too long on the ground, it would melt and run away. Now we see that's the same thing as happening in Christianity. Many people before 9 o'clock, they're hungry. You come to church and you're satisfied, you eat the manna. Then you get hungry right away. You have a lot of campground stars. I like that term. I used to be one. Couldn't wait for the next camp meeting. Because I could go to camp meeting, and stay there for a few days, and boy, I could just worship and praise and wonderful. And then I'd go home, and it was just like, back to where I was before. When's the next meetings? When's the next meetings? Try to go to church and it was good. It kind of tied you over, but I had to get to meeting because I had to be like, oh, in that presence where it was just there for day after day. You could just bask in it. Just a wonderful time. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But then it goes away. We have a lot of campground stars. Many people go to the service, rejoice and shout, praise the Lord while the Spirit of God is falling. All condemnation left their hearts. And as soon as a day or two after the revival, they find themselves back in that old grind again. Yet they're eating manna. Think about it. They're feeding on the word. They're going to church. They're doing all the things you're supposed to do. What makes these people go out on the ground, eat manna then before night comes? Many of them get hungry. What is it talking about? Well, I'm not satisfied. I'm going to find something in the world. I got to go watch a movie. I got to watch a ball game. I got to go hang out with my friends. I got to go find something to do because the joy that should be there isn't there. That fullness of joy is not expressing itself, so I got to find something else. I'm still hungering for something that I'm not being satisfied with Christ. I ain't preaching about going to watching a ball game or movie. I couldn't care less. But if that's where you're getting your joy from, because you're not getting that satisfaction from Christ, you have a problem. And many people go to the meeting, just many people go and turn on the radio, hear a good sermon, rejoices. Many of them go to church, hear a good sermon, they go home and rejoice. What is that thing that comes to take it all away from their... I'm sorry, but what is that thing then that come in and take it all away from you, first little difficult that rises? Surely if you're hearing the word and your soul is rejoicing, the word is the Holy Spirit that you're eating. But you get a phone call and you're tore up. Your wife says something and you're tore up. You start worrying about what my boss said at work. You get all this stuff and it just tears. I'm not, look, being tore up about self, I'm not talking about that. But when you allow that to just rob you from that joy and then you focus on that and you can't get rid of that, it's because you have Satan sitting right there in one of your gates. You need to take control of that gate and get him out of there. Does that mean it's not going to come back? No, you're going to fight that every day. Brother Branham, look at his life. Aren't you glad he was honest? Look at the things he fought. Look how he took a complex. He did all this. All that was in his mind, friends. And he had to repent of it. He had to get rid of that. Remember when he said he had that attitude, the wrong attitude towards the people? He said, I was wrong. He said, but I'm still there. Oh, aren't you glad he said that? He said, I know it's wrong, but I need God to do something because I still have the wrong feeling towards the people. You don't just get rid of that with your own strength. You need the Holy Spirit to come and blow that thing out of there. He said, pray for me. Did I get the right feeling? Get rid of that thing. This is a serious battle, friends. See, your faith anchors you in Christ. That's intellectual. You believe it. You accept it. You say it's right. You recognize it to be the truth. You're a Christian. You've got everlasting life by believing it. You've entered to God. You're on the campground. Manna's falling, and you're eating it. But something's missing. Something is missing. You notice the strange thing? There was a mixed multitude eating the same manna. People who are sinners, who does not accept the Lord Jesus, can still enjoy seeing the moving of the miracle of God. You can be a total unbeliever and come here and enjoy church. Healing the sick can rejoice in people doing right, can open the heart, rejoice in a sermon that's preached on the anointing, and that's the same type of manna that the Christian is eating. They're all eating on the same manna. They're all saying amen to the same word. I met people who would stand in the church, just rejoice and go outside the church, maybe Monday or Tuesday, just living and becoming to a Christian. The man or woman, whoever it may be, would turn again, shake their hand, and say, I don't want to do those things. He said, you feel sorry for them. I don't know what he's talking about. I've lived this. I go to church, I go back out, and I do things that I don't want to live this way. What is wrong with me? I would try to live right, and I couldn't do it. So I don't want to be this person anymore. You know why? Because I was trying to do it with my own strength. I was trying to live good enough. I was trying in my own ability, and you take your own mind to fight your own mind, and you're just a fool. You can't overcome your own self with your own self. Amen. Oh my. That these things, they try to get a little, let me put it this, at least little thing will bring that old temper back again, that selfishness. open up an ear to hear gospel. Do something of that type. That person has never entered into this pot in here. He's talking about in the eating that pot from the manna in the pot that never ran out. He said, they're outside. They're truly eating the same kind of manna. They've been brought into the camp in the field where the people got the manna, and they're in there, and that manna that they eat is the same manna that this man eats here. That's why you can go to Message Church, and one person is actually eating, and they're feasting, and they're in that presence, and they're in the hidden place, and the other person is eating the same manna, and they're on the outer court. He said they both have the same pastor. They both read the same Bible. But one constantly stays true and humble. The other one's got his ups and downs. Both of them eating the same manna. One of them has entered in, the other one is still out. Both of them are believers into eternal life. But one of them is baptized with the Holy Spirit in the kingdom of God. The other one is outside eating the same manna. Oh, friends, where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? I pray that every one of us is on the inside. This does not mean, well, if you're on the inside, you don't have any problems. No, you have more problems. But you stay solid. You stay rock. There's a revelation. You stay solid. You stay on that rock. He said, if you ever come into Christ, my friend, into a place where the world is dead, whether your children are this way, your mother's that way, your daddy said this, your pastor said that, whether the doctor said this or that, you don't even hear it. Does that mean that you don't hear it with your natural ears? No, it doesn't. Does that mean it won't hurt your feelings? No, it doesn't. Does that mean that you might want to react? Yes, it does. But you don't hear it from your soul, and your soul takes control and says, I know they said that. I forgive them. I am not going to allow that to rob me of my joy. You want to hate the way I preach? I am not going to allow that to rob me of my joy. You don't want to shake my hand? That's not going to rob me of my joy. I'm going to love you just as much as I did anyways, because it's not my love anyways. Fails human love, my struggle, but the love of God inside of me does not struggle loving you or anybody else, because the love of God in me can't help but love everybody. Can't help it. And when I love somebody, I can't help but treat them like a brother. That's what the love of God does in my soul. What does it do in yours? You live only in the Shekinah glory, walking and living in the presence of the King. Every day is sweet in your soul. All is well. All is well. There's nothing can harm you. Oh, what a place. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to worry about what someone thinks about you. All you have to do is love with the love of God that's in your soul, because nothing can harm you. All is well. That's what it means to be a born-again Christian in 2023. He said, did you ever meet a person that's been in there and has tasted living on this manna? You can meet him on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, cloudy day, bright day, gloomy day, things going right, wrong. He's always sweet, always full of love, never talked to do something wrong. He's living under the glory of God. He never gets hungry. He never has to go to church to get filled up. That's what we need to be. That's what we have to be, friends. That's what it means to be a born-again Christian. If this is not what you're manifesting, get right with God. Get rid of that junk in your mind. I'm not de-Christianing anybody. I'm telling you, we got a lot of our gates in our mind are still being clogged up with our feelings and our history and our past and our memories and all protecting ourselves and what this person said and that person said. And it's debilitating our ability to express Christ himself. It's keeping him down. He said, I want to love through you. I want to talk through you. I want to witness to this person through you. But you got too much junk up here that you're getting in the way. He said, I don't mean from an emotional mental workup. Let me go back a little bit. Have you ever come to the place in life where Christ meant more to you than all the arguing you could do about your church? Whew. means more than the arguing you could do about your church. Well, I don't like the way Brother Will sits there. Well, I think he should do this. Well, I think he should do that. Really? So you were called? Do you hear what Brother Jerry said a couple weeks ago? He said, it ain't me. I'm just the one God speaks through. It ain't Brother Jerry's job to straighten up. It's God keeps his church straight. All he needs is a vessel to speak through. So if I see what Brother Will doing something I don't like, I'm supposed to follow to what the Word says about it. But it's not my job to straighten him up. The Word says to go and talk to him about it. I'm supposed to do that. But it's not what Will, I think you should do this. Will, I think, well, I'm not in charge. The Holy Spirit is in charge. Let him have his way. Arguing you could do about, has Christ meant more to you than all the world? I don't mean from emotional or mental workup. I mean from the depths of your heart that something's settled in there, that something's taking place that you don't know how it come. You don't know how it come, but you're hid away. Your whole motive is to serve Jesus Christ. Have you entered that place, my dear brother? Have you come into the place where you don't care what anyone says? Not to go out and act smart, but till the love of God is so anchored unto you that you can't see nothing else. Your whole motive is to do the will of God, love for everybody, flowing free from everywhere. What a place to live. That's the hidden place. That's the place we got to come to, my brother. That's the place where God reveals the secret things. That's the place God does the placing and the calling. You get what I mean? All the arguing, all the fussing goes away. We have love. Our blanket stretches. Some person wants to kick us out. We stretch the blanket over the head. But like Brother Branham said, I'm going to love you anyways. That's the place we got to come to, he said. So I'm going to ask you, where are you? Do you see that happening? I do. I look around and I see more Christ in this person and more Christ in that person and more love here and more patience here and more mercy here and more grace here. So you got grace for everybody because God had grace for me. Let's stand. What gives me so much peace, so much joy? Because I see these things happening. I see the bride coming to this place. I look around, I see different believers. I say, that person's growing in Christ. I see that person growing in Christ. I see that person growing in Christ. I say, my, that's beautiful. So beautiful. I know that that person used to react this way, and now they react this way. That person used to say these things, now they say these things. Oh, That has to terrify Satan and all his little minion demons. Has to. Because when he can't control us, we're going in a rapture. That's where we're going. Amen? Amen. Friends, whatever you're going through, whatever your life is, God chose those trials. He chose the people in your family. He chose everything that you're going through to mold you into this, what Brother Brandon was talking about. Let it have its effect. Let it have his effect. Amen. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful, Father, that we can see your word being manifest. We're so thankful that you would take your word this morning and speak what you wanted said, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the anointing you gave me, Lord, to get out of the way and just to express you, Lord. All we want to do is see Christ. I believe every person from our heart, every person in here, if we would just get down there where it really matters, he said, all I want to do is see Jesus Christ. All I want to do is express him. And yet every one of us still have places, Lord, where Satan comes against us. And he's going to continue to be that way. And Lord, we have to overcome. We need to possess the gates of the enemy. We need to come to a place where we love you more than we love our old flesh is what it comes down to. We love you more than we love our own ideas, our own things, our own feelings. And we love you more. Lord Jesus, just let that come in each heart, Lord. Let that come to a place where we possess the gates. We're willing to fight that battle on a daily basis. And come to a place, Lord Jesus, where you can express yourself to such a way that Satan comes to poke at us and all he can find is you. Oh, Father, what a place to live. This is our inheritance. This is our right. We have a right to this. We can cast Satan out. We have the right to stand there and call you on the scene, and you will enforce the word for our day. You enforce the word that Satan cannot infect us in that way like he used to. When he comes against us, we have the right to drive him away in the name of Jesus Christ. And I stand here this morning saying that every person in here, if you have a problem, if you have something where Satan's coming against you this morning, you just stand there in that gate and you call Jesus Christ on the scene. He'll drive him away. If you will do it in faith. Lord Jesus, we ask you this morning to come and take the battle, Lord. The battle is yours. You said, if stand still and let me fight that battle, that's what you're here to do this morning, Lord. We're so grateful, Father. Oh, we're so thankful to see the differences you're making in our lives. I ask you, go with each one here, Lord. We go about our business, Lord, the rest of the day, the rest of this week, Lord. Just, Father, let the word have the effect. Lord, when we're going through the battle, just bring to the remembrance, bring to our remembrance the things that were said so that we would stand there and take you in faith and just withstand the devil. To withstand him, Lord Jesus, that's all we're looking for. Father, won't you come and have your way? Oh, Father, come and have your way. We long to see you. Our heart panteth after you. Our soul longs to see you, to be in your presence in that secret hidden away place. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you're doing. I ask this in your name. Amen.